The Bill Myers Show podcast is sponsored by Clouser Drilling. They've been leading the way in Southern Oregon well drilling for over 50 years. Find out more about them at clouserdrilling.com. Good morning and happy Conspiracy Theory Thursday, the first Conspiracy Theory Thursday of spring. Joining the conversation at 770-563-3770-KMED. Email Bill at BillMyersShow.com. Going to be a busy day with some great people coming on to talk about the various issues here. Chad Caton is with Veterans for Trump. They have a brand new documentary out that Salem Now helped them produce, which is about the border emergency. And we'll talk a little bit about that, maybe some other Trump news too. After 7 o'clock, Ilya Shapiro, I last spoke with him a couple of weeks ago, and he is a constitutional studies and senior fellow at the Manhattan Institute. We're going to dig into how the First Amendment was really on trial earlier this week, and he knows his stuff. And always interesting analysis on that, too, so we'll talk with him. We'll also be digging into a couple of the Josephine County ballot measures, citizen initiatives, of course, 17-116. And also, there is the 17-117. They want more money for the animal shelter. Bill Hunker and Jim Rafferty wanted to talk with us about that a little bit, so we'll certainly do it. And later this morning at 8:30, I'm looking forward to this one. I only have about 15, 20 minutes with him, but Dr. Gary Habermas, I think it's Habermas or Habermas, I'm not sure. I'll find out, though, but he's a research professor of apologetics and philosophy at Liberty University. And I ended up buying a copy the other day of a book which came out, let's say, back September, October of last year called Mind Matters. And it's a lot of different writers getting together and contributing about the brain. You know, what is the brain? What is our consciousness? And what... Minding the Brain, Models of the Mind, Information, and Empirical Science. It's about, you know, the real hard science about what's going on in our brain and even our consciousness, what makes us us. And the part that Dr. Habermas ended up writing about, it was a really interesting chapter, about scientific evidence behind the near-death experience. People who talk about various things that happen to them when they die on the operating table. And all of a sudden they talk about floating above their body. The brain is shut off. Their eyes are closed. And yet they're able to describe, the nurse was wearing plaid shoelaces. There was one story in it that I thought was quite interesting. They're going a lot into the scientific evidence behind that, behind those sort of things. And consciousness is not what we think. You know, you have the singularity types, the Elon Musks and the other technocrat types that ultimately are hoping that they will be immortal because really all humans are biological computers. That's kind of the way they look at us, in that we can just upload our consciousness into the computer and then we will live forever. You know, that's kind of the shorthand thing. But the science is indicating that what we think of as our human consciousness is a lot more, not necessarily something you're going to put into a test tube. But I thought the chapter by Dr. Habermas was really interesting, so we'll talk with him a little bit about that. And he's done hundreds of interviews on this particular site. Now, he looks at it from a religious, spiritual point of view, too, because he's at Liberty University, even though the Discovery Institute ended up printing this book. It's a really interesting book. It's a deep dive. I'm going to have to grind through it. I'll just dive in and out of it over the next few weeks. But I wanted to talk with him a bit about that. Yeah, I have a dog in the fight because, I've shared on the show a few times over the years that I had a near-death experience. August 4th of 1997. Yeah, before my birthday. Day before my birthday. And I almost drowned in the Applegate River. Drowned in the Applegate River, being held down. I was helping a kid out who panicked and was choking me out. And it was a bad day. It really was. And I didn't have a near-death experience like what he's talking about, the people dying on the operating table. It wasn't that sort of thing. But for me, it was more of a spiritual time type thing. I have to tell you, it's like I might have been... starting to die for only about 30, 35, 40 seconds or something like that as I was struggling. But it was a really really big deal for me. It was really life-changing. It's really life-changing. And it's kind of like, you know, God offering you the choice. You want to stay, you want to go. It was like a, and it was really interesting because I found it fascinating as I was struggling. It's like you're running the body. I was running my body from a distance. And it was kind of like being asked, okay, did you want to stay or you want to go? If you want to go, it's no blame. No blame right now, because it almost seems like it was an inflection point of my life that I could have taken off. And it was a very powerful experience. And scientists are really starting to look into this and looking for a hard empirical data around it. It's quite interesting. So we'll talk with Dr. Habermas about that a little bit later on in the program. I get him on more, but except he says he works late nights. He's a night bird or a night owl, you know, that kind of thing. But we'll have that coming up. Maybe we can get him on other times. All right. Some of the news that we have going on here in Southwest Oregon. Hell, we had a 5-3 vote last night in the Grants Pass City Council. They voted to override the veto of Mayor Sarah Bristol against that that homelessness services ordinance that the city was trying to pass. And then she vetoed it. And really, essentially, what I think the city council is trying to do is to put a little bit of a rein or rein in the excesses of the Stabbin' Wagons and the Max's Mission type people who essentially are enabling drug addiction and derelict behavior here in Southwest Oregon. Now, it's only be effective in Grants Pass. Yeah, they want to register them and say Mayor Bristol will say, oh, this is horrible because, you know, people might die. Hey, they're dying and fighting and shooting themselves in the parks right now. So I don't see much problem with getting a handle on the nonprofit rackets, and I really do think of them as rackets, that you know, the homeless industrial complex, which is developed in the wake of all of this, is slithering of just tons of money into the gullets of these people, these organizations. So it looks like they're going to talk about it and figure out some of the details, but yeah, they overrode the mayor's veto. KOBI 5, our news partner, had an interesting story, too. Local Christian organization files lawsuit, was stripped of $4,000 grant. This Medford Christian organization is suing the Oregon Department of Education and the Youth Development Division after it says it was stripped of $400,000 in grant money. A lawsuit says a new rule prohibits faith-based organizations from getting grants if they prefer members of their own faith as employees or volunteers. This is Youth 715 Ministries, and they have been getting grants from Oregon's Youth Community Investment Grant Program for years. And, of course, they would prefer members of their own faith as employees or volunteers. So would you rather, if you're a Christian group, would you rather have a Christian group, or would you rather have a pervert Satanist? Well, the state of Oregon would say, well, you know, you really have to hire that pervert Satanist because they love children, too. Oh, they really love children. Yeah, I'm just kidding about that. But you kind of know where you're going from. And 715 Ministries Executive Director Bud Amundson says, we have that right. It's been removed. We want it returned and secured so that we can work in the lives of young people. And it's operated in Medford for the last six decades under a whole bunch of different names. And so Alliance Defending Freedom, or ADF, is going to defend them. And they say that the state's new rule violates the First Amendment rights of 715 Ministries. Interesting. So then NBC5, it says, reached out to Brian Detman, the director of the Oregon Department of Education's Youth Development Division. He said the organization will not comment on any legal action. And besides, we in the state of Oregon Department of Education, we hate all of you Sky Buddy people who believe that stuff because the state wants to turn your children trans. Okay, I made up all that last part, but I think that actually may be more of what's going on. That is certainly the battle. We'll see what happens with 715 now for sure. This is the Bill Myers Show, and you're on KMED and KCMD. Remember, I made up that last part. Just want to be clear. Yeah.
March is Maintenance Madness Month at Kelly's Automotive Service in Grants Pass in Medford. We want to remind you to check your fluids at least once a month to help avoid costly repairs. When you come in for any service at Kelly's, we do a thorough inspection that includes pictures and videos of the good and not so good of your car that are texted and emailed directly to you. You then decide what to fix and how to plan for the future. Check us out at kellysautomotive.com. Kelly's Automotive Service, where we service your vehicle but take care of you.
Hi, this is Bill Meyer, and I'm with Charisse from No Wires Now, your Dish Premier local retailer. It's time to switch to Dish.
If you have DirecTV or cable TV, call me today to see how I can save you money. Plus, I'll lower your internet and cell phone bills.
And those offers in the mail from Dish, you can go through No Wires Now for those.
Call me at 541-680-5875.
Call Charisse like I did or visit their showroom off Biddle Road in Medford, nowiresnow.com. Restrictions apply. Call for details. Internet and cell phone service not provided. By Dish.
Nominations are open for this year's Bi-Coastal Media Best of Southern Oregon contest. Nominate and support your favorite businesses now through April 3rd at bestofsouthernoregon.com. There's nearly 200 categories to nominate all your favorite suppliers of goods and services. Whether it's activities and entertainment, business services, home and garden, shopping and more, there's a category to nominate all of your favorites. So visit bestofsouthernoregon.com today. Nominations close Wednesday, April 3rd at 5 p.m.
Hi, I'm Steve Potter, body shop manager at Lithia Body and Paint, and I'm on 106.7 KMED.
Welcome to Conspiracy Theory Thursday. It's a great time to talk about your favorite theory. If you got one, 770-5633. I'm going over some of the news headlines this morning. But if you call, yeah, we'll go live without a net, put my job at risk, and talk to people. Hi, who's this? Good morning.
Hey, good morning, Bill. This is Master Steve.
Master Steve, what's on your mind today? Going on?
Hey, I want to give a little bit of a different perspective on the invasion we're having in our country right now from the southern border.
Okay, please go ahead.
Okay, so in 1942, the Allied forces, in the first 4 months of after D-Day, only used 800,000 soldiers to invade Europe and push the Nazis back. So
that sounds like a lot of people, but you think in the grand scheme of things, it's not really all that much men. Of course, there was a lot of materiel that they were shooting and setting off camera cannons and such. Sure.
So look at the number of people who we've actually had contact with coming across the border in the last 3 years. You know, that's way more people. And then you got to count the gotaways also.
Yeah. Well, you're thinking on average 5,000 to 6,000 a day, it's a couple hundred thousand a month, 2 million plus a year. Two million plus a year. Now, that doesn't necessarily count people that are going back and forth, too, but still, it's a lot of people, isn't it?
Right. It's definitely an invasion. Now, also, even though they aren't actually shooting, when you look at the fentanyl deaths, just in Oregon here, between 2021 and 2022, there were 1,500 deaths. So if it continues on this rate, we'll have over the number of people killed in the towers in New York, just here in the state of Oregon.
Yeah, just from fentanyl.
So,
brought in, the precursors come from China, go to Mexico, then Mexican cartels bring it here. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. So it's just a little different perspective. This is an invasion, and we are being attacked. We have people dying.
But it's kind of a quiet one, right? That sort of thing.
Oh, absolutely.
It's quieter in stealth, especially when you have those federal government buses coming into town at stop at the Rogue Valley Mall and discharge, 30, 40 people. And
when you have a house and a water pipe breaks and the house is flooding, what do?
Turn the water off.
Shut off the water.
Yeah.
Right. You have to shut the water off before you can clean up the mess.
Master Steve, good take on it. I appreciate your call. Thanks for that. 770-5633. Conspiracy Theory Thursday. We go to line two. Hello. Hello.
Good morning.
Oh, good morning, Tom. How are you? I recognize that voice from talent. What's on your mind?
All right. Yeah, I certainly agree with the previous caller. I wanted to talk about 5G and what's going on with the Ashland City Council. Basically, they
If you don't mind, just a second here, Tom. I had that story. I was going to mention that. Okay, so let me just touch on the high points of this, so
okay.
People know what you're talking
Go ahead,
about.
You do.
They may not know. Okay, Ashland City Council this week approved helicopter logging of zombie forests, but they also delved into the 5G technology. This, according to the Daily Courier this morning. And they spent a long time debating a proposed telecommunications ordinance, which include comments from over a dozen members of the public. There's a lot of yelling back and forth, too, from what I understand. And they actually threw one person out of the council chambers because it's about allowing small 5G wireless towers on the right-of-ways in the city. Okay, so that's kind of the basics of it. If you want to take it from there, go ahead.
Yeah, apparently... I wasn't there, but the audience was pretty adamant that they didn't want it. And but I guess they had a vote, and only one person voted against it, and the rest of them all kowtowed to the whole idea of 5G, even though nearly everyone in the audience was said we don't want it. And of course, the usual. Support from the powers that be, including the city, say, well, we can't do anything about it because the federal government says it has jurisdiction.
They are correct when they say that. And I don't say that happily, but there is anything involving the FCC is pretty much the FCC federal government's purview. And that includes the licensing of broadcast facilities, the licensing of 4G, 5G, 3G, whatever. There are limited regulatory options for local government to weigh in. I don't necessarily think that's great, and I'm in the industry too. But you also have the other side of that argument, in which for all the people that were yelling at that council meeting, I'll be willing to bet you that 99.9% of the cell phone users in the city of Ashland, they want their cell phone. They want their cell phone working, and they want their 5G, too. So I don't know where you go on that.
Well, you certainly have a point there. And just because the federal government declares that it has jurisdiction and supremacy over local does not necessarily mean that can be challenged, and it should be challenged. Because the people who want to put the 5G don't have to live with the 5G. They make a lot of money from it, but they're not subject to it. And the real problem is the FCC has based its health considerations based on information over 50 years ago. The last time they weighed in on health considerations, 1996, and that was based on studies back in the 70s. So you're talking over 50 years of technology and so forth. And the primary problem is that we have not quantified the dangers of microwave radiation.
Now, other countries have done more investigation than the United States. I think the United States government is kind of willfully blind on such matters, okay? And yet, yeah, please understand, I'm carrying a cell phone, so I'm not being a hypocrite when I talk about this. The wireless danger standards were more or less, and I'm just spitballing on this one. It's a pretty deep subject, all right? So we don't want to get too much off in the weeds. But it was earlier, what it was really about was, well, did the tissue heat up from the exposure to the radio frequency power? That sort of thing. And that's how they would design a lot of these older standards that really haven't changed all that much. And what the concern is, what some scientists are saying, from what I understand, is that they're thinking that there are actually chromosomal changes which can happen to DNA.
6,000 studies, Bill.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, I know. I get that. And the only thing that people can really do is what you had talked about, though, is that lawyers have to be hired and you have to, engage in lawfare. But the real reason why government is very much in favor of 5G. You do get that, right? You know why it's really...
Oh, absolutely. they want, it's basically 5G surveillance. They want
exactly.
to be able to monitor everything, and they're headed for digital money and so forth.
Yeah, the only way that you can have the Internet of Things, the only way that, you know, every single item in the world is going to have its little RFID chip, or, you know, you can communicate with your refrigerator, wherever you are, and get the corporate farm to send you some milk, you know, whatever. That's the only way that that gets brought in. And also the self-driving car technology. It's all part and parcel of the same situation, because 4G is not able to have enough data throughput to make that happen.
Yeah, and what the FCC has declared, he says, we are not interested in health considerations, and we're not even investigating them. We're just going full bore on this. That's what they've have said. And again, the primary problem with all of this, including the you know, the counselors that voted for putting 5G in, no one really knows the exact quantity of how dangerous they are.
Well, you're right about that, but I think it's something which is really above the pay grade of a typical city councilor. I'm sorry. I just think that's what it is. And it's still, the bottom line is there is limited local regulatory power available, according, you know, unless you want to sue the federal government. And I don't know, you know, you sue the federal government, Ashland may not be able to hand out $1,000 grants to people with electric cars, which they just started doing, too, from what I understand.
It's all about the money, isn't it? It comes down to that.
Pretty much. So to challenge that, you got to get a lot of people together and engage in lawfare, because that's what they do. That's what the you know, the industry will do, too. So just saying. Okay? All right?
Yeah, well, that's kind of – but what would really help is to actually have quantifiable numbers, and that would take – some research, and that research is not being done because of money again. So
okay, well, maybe that's where maybe what you do is that support people that have a problem with this sort of issue, make it their big issue. It's kind of like what happened a number of years ago when people who wanted to go GMO free in Jackson County wanted to make that a big issue, and they did. And they, you know, did their research and did everything else. Well, in this case, you got to do some research first. This is a big one, though. This is a big one. That's almost too big of a blob to resist at this point in time, but nothing wrong with trying on that, Tom, okay? Appreciate the call. 634 at KMED, KCMD. I think Tom's actually on a wired network.
The McPherson Agency and Farmers Insurance are known for helping with auto and home insurance needs, but we can also help with many business, bonding, and life insurance options. Hi, it's Megan McPherson, your local Farmers Insurance agent. My team and I would love the opportunity to offer a comprehensive review of your current policies. Give our office a call at 541-776-0673 or stop by our office. A straightforward and personalized approach is what you'll get when you choose me, Megan McPherson, as your local Farmers Insurance agent.
When the wind blows and storms roll through, do you get worried? Hi, this is Jeff with Quality Tree Service. If you answered yes, you may have a dangerous tree that could come down and cause property damage or worse. Call us and we'll inspect your trees and provide a no-obligation quote. If removal is necessary, we specialize in low impact. At Quality Tree Service, we love trees, but they shouldn't be keeping you up at night. We also offer senior and military discounts. Visit us at QualityTreeServiceMedford.com.
News sponsored by Caveman Heating and Air. It's the climate and we control it. Call Caveman Heating and Air at 541-476-0009 or cavemanheating.com.
Good morning. I'm Natalie Serna with your NBC5 Morning News Update. The Grants Pass City Council passed a resolution by a vote of 5-3 last night to override the mayor's veto on an ordinance. This law forces anyone planning to give out food, clothing, or other services at public parks to register with the city, which would also include a fee. When Mayor Sarah Bristol vetoed the ordinance, she said it could open the door to a lawsuit against the city and that it's just making it harder for humanitarians to work. Some citizens agreed with that idea during public comment, saying the people receiving aid in the parks need all they can get, and others wouldn't last a day in their shoes. Councillor Brian De LaGrange couldn't have agreed more. Councillor Valeria Lovelace says she was disappointed in the veto from the mayor because this ordinance was supposed to work for everyone. After the vote, councillors discussed the possibility of making revisions to the ordinance in an attempt to make both sides of the issue more content. Then BLM and the Nature Conservancy are hosting free guided hikes of Upper and Lower Table Rock starting April 6th. Kyle Sullivan, public affairs specialist for the Medford District of BLM, says this is the 38th year they've collaborated with the Nature Conservancy to present a spring hike series to the public. Sullivan says these hikes fill up pretty quickly. You can head to our website to make a reservation. That's a look at your morning headlines for NBC5 News. I'm Natalie Serna. Have a great Thursday.
Have your taxes gotten off track? Just call Zach, CPA at First Response Resolution. Visit firstresponseirs.com today to see what Zach can do for you. First Response Resolution in Eagle Point is your first response to the IRS, defending your rights as a taxpayer.
The purchase of another gutter manufacturing machine has spurred speculation at the offices of Fontana Roofing.
Yes, we'll custom fabricate them on site in your choice of 30 colors and includes heavy duty hangers, zinc plated screws, and complete downspouts. Great, talk to you soon.
Another quote?
Yep. They're deciding between copper, steel, or aluminum. All will last decades. Even when they're occasionally plugged, they can handle the weight of water and leaves.
And space dust. Researchers have calculated about 5,200 metric tons of micrometeorites fall to Earth every year.
Huh. Ooh, what about bird poo? I'm guessing that's got to be in the millions of tons dropping from the sky every day into the gutters.
Fontana Roofing manufactures sturdy, custom gutter systems to withstand just about whatever lands on your roof. Call Fontana Roofing for your next set of gutters. Visit FontanaRoofingServices.com.
The Bill Myers Show. 106.3 KMED, 99.3 KCMD.
6:38, Chad Caton joins me. He's the National Director of Veterans for Trump. And a brand new documentary that they have been producing in conjunction with Salem Now. And let's talk about that right now. Chad, good to have you on. Welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me, Bill. I appreciate it.
Chad, tell us a little bit first about Veterans for Trump. And what is that group all about? I think it's pretty much self-explanatory, but which conflict are you a veteran of? Just curious.
I'm a former United States Navy CB. We also have our president, who is a former detective. So we have law enforcement and veterans involved in Veterans for Trump. Veterans for Trump is our call sign right now. We are under the umbrella of Veterans for America First. Mm-hmm. So that when Trump goes back to the White House, we need to go back to work. And that is to continue to push the agenda of America First and that movement. And who better than people that have put their hand on the Bible and raised their hand in the oath of this country, which has no expiration. We just try to activate, educate, and motivate our former first responders and military to get out and lead from the front mm-hmm. in their civic duties in their communities.
The military, in my opinion, has been under attack. I mean, I know we're talking about all sorts of attack on the culture here, sure. Chad, but I don't know. How long have you been out of the military? Do you mind if I ask? Or, you know, been a veteran?
No, it's not like you're asking me how much I weigh. But
Well, how much do you weigh? What are you wearing? I'm just kidding. Okay,
I'm 6'1", 270. So,
good for you. All right.
No, I got out in 1998.
Okay.
And I've been a firefighter, either as a wild firefighter in California or an occupational firefighter here in South Carolina.
So you jumped out of the frying pan into the fire, so to speak, right? That kind of thing.
You've got to always be, once you're in service and you feel that, it's hard to get out of. And
I would imagine a lot of people that have been in the service, or would it be fair to say a lot of adrenaline junkies too? Would that be fair?
Absolutely.
Just, yeah. I mean, you're not a desk job guy, are you? Right?
No, I'm really not.
Yeah. Well, it's good. We need people like you. We really do. The reason
I'm the guy you want on the wall, that's for sure.
Exactly. That's the guy. Well, this is the reason I wanted to ask you about this, because I have talked with several, more than one, local families that have discussed the woke takeover of the military. It's been going on. Sure. One person I know that they have, you know, numerous children in the military, and one of them just quit and just left because, you know, the whole transgender thing got screamed at in front of, you know, the fellow troops and things like that because a biological male was saying, "Are you misgendering me, soldier?" You know, that kind of thing. And just went on and on and on. And the military was begging this kid to stay in because he was, you know, had risen to a pretty good good level in here. And I can't help but look at what's been going on with the military as an orchestrated takedown via the culture. And does that get talked a lot much in the Veterans for Trump people? And could anything be done about this, you think?
Yes, it's definitely kind of been a weird ride.
Yeah.
Because, you know, here I am, Generation X, and I'm like, am I becoming the old guy where, like, oh, when I was in the Navy, you didn't have to this and that, and, you know, and I am. I am that old guy now.
Well, yeah, they didn't ask you. Well, see, when you were in there, Generation X there, you were not forced to salute a delusion, which is what the military is turning into right now, and it's openly embraced. And this is about crushing military readiness and the ability to, you know, we're worried more about ticking boxes and embracing delusions than we are about defending the country and the people. That's what I get concerned about.
Let me give you a perspective that military will understand and citizens probably won't.
Okay.
The biggest thing that you get from veterans are they're out there pushing their legacy, that of their military service, mm-hmm. in their family, friends, and their political lexicon, the people around them in their neighborhood. The kid that comes by because he doesn't have a dad, you guide them and say, hey, man, you should become a Marine or you should become a sailor or you should join the Air Force. You know, we're not doing that anymore. Veterans that are out here, I'm not telling anybody to join the military. I would never tell them to join our military currently.
I can't believe how many veterans I've talked to that have told me the same thing, Chad. And
that's what's killing our readiness right now.
Yeah.
Because we were the best recruiters.
Yeah, well, yeah, because you'd look up to these men and women in the service and going, yeah, I'd like to be like them. Boom, and you would do this. And do you believe it's actually an intentional intent? There's actually intent to destroy the ability of the country to be defended with these woke and Marxist military policies coming in.
Not a doubt in my mind. There's no such thing as coincidence in politics. And what happens in especially when in regards to our military, everything is dissected 1,000 times before a policy is put out. Somebody somewhere is pulling the strings to kill our readiness and to put our country in a position that we aren't ready to defend ourselves. And we're seeing it at the border. We're seeing it with our military. And overtly, we have to look at it in my seat and talking to other veterans across the country. They feel that we are dealing with a treasonous regime and we're all supposed to sit here with our hands in our pockets.
Mm-hmm.
It's a tough place to be.
Yeah. Chad Caton, by the way, National Director of Veterans for Trump. Let's talk a bit about the border invasion, an American crisis. This is, excuse me just a second. Yeah, there we go. I had to blow the phlegm out there. Well, that sounds okay. Great, right? This documentary just came out. Salem Now ends up distributing it. And This border invasion and the American crisis, what are we going to learn from this that you think, Chad, we may not have heard from other stories? Because there's been a lot of hyper-focus on the border these last few months.
There has. And what we did in this film is we went and got the pros. We went from the people that live on the border, the people that are the police officers on the border, mm-hmm. to border patrol agents like Victor Avila, who's in the film, all the way up to Tom Holman, the former director of Border Patrol. And then we actually talked to a multitude of elected officials on the border and all the way to, say, North Carolina, Sandy Smith, and how the border problem has affected North Carolina. So what we did is we go through the gamut of what's really going on at the border. It's raw. And we made it so there would be no hyperbole. This is the movie you want to take your Democrat friends to stick a couple of toothpicks in their eyelids and force them to watch it because they can't actually look away and realize that this isn't true. It's absolutely true. And probably the biggest story that actually breaks to the border and how our government is playing games with us is the Victor Avila story and the having him explain what happened to him when he didn't get shot on the border. He got shot in Mexico going to pick up the laundry for his supervisor.
Really?
So he came out. You heard it here.
He got shot. Yes. Repeat that. I want to make sure I heard that correctly.
Victor Avila, who just ran for Congress there in Eagles Pass, him and his partner were sent on a mission in a bulletproof SUV into Mexico.
Yeah.
A lot of people think Victor was actually shot on the border, being a Border Patrol agent. That's not what happened. He was sent into Mexico to pick up boxes. They thought it was for a case. They picked up the boxes, him and his partner, Jaime Zapata, and they went down this particular highway, which was known to be controlled by the Zetas cartel.
Mm-hmm.
They were going down the road. All of a sudden, two other SUVs ran them off the road, flipping the vehicle. And then the Zetas went down, turned around. Multiple men got out of their vehicle in high-powered machine guns and opened fire, automatic weapons, on their vehicle. Even though it was bulletproof, after flipping in the sort and multitude of bullets flying at them, Victor Avila was shot in the chest and three times in the leg, and his partner, Jaime Zapata, was killed.
Oh. And what,
40 minutes they laid in that truck waiting for Victor to get on the phone and talk to the embassy and try to get it. And then when they got out, they tried to figure out what happened. They asked for they FOIA'd the chain of custody paperwork based on why they were in Mexico.
Okay, so this was an embassy. These were papers from the embassy, were boxes from the embassy? Is that what I'm hearing correctly?
They contacted the embassy for help.
Oh, okay.
But where they picked up the boxes has not been put out.
Were they drug? Do you think that they were inadvertently doing drug running? I'm sorry. No. I'm not really familiar much with that story, so I'm sorry to plead a little ignorance.
No, that's fine. And the whole Victor Avila story is a lot of ignorance out there. But it's not your fault because it's what's allowed to be put out, what Victor's allowed to talk about. Now it's been opened up a lot.
Oh.
And I actually talked to Tom Holman at CPAC, and he goes, Chad, do you realize what we found out about those boxes? Basically, it was Tchotchke. It was his supervisor sent him and his partner into Mexico to pick up, because his supervisor used to work inside Mexico, and sent Victor and Jaime to go pick up his stuff. They didn't know it.
What, a little milk run, for crying out loud? Really?
Well, yeah, I didn't want to pay for the U-Haul, so I'm going to go send a $150,000 SUV and two of my men to go pick up my crap. And that's basically, now the government wants that change of custody, so Victor and then the family of Jaime Zapata can prove that this happened. And wouldn't you know it, the government can't find it.
Oh, yeah, just turned up missing. All right. Chad Caton, once again, National Director of Veterans for Trump. The documentary that they're hoping that you will pick up a copy of or either watch through a Salem Now membership is Border Invasion, an American Crisis. Now, I can actually flip I watched the YouTube trailer for this one, but and even that's pretty interesting. I don't know if you get into this or not, Chad, but the way that Congress has behaved about border issues. Now, there are some that are really strong on it, and there's absolutely no doubt. There are congressmen and senators that are just like, you know, they're solid on, hey, you know, we're completely down with sealing this up tight. But there is so much open border kind of appeasement going on that I can't help but think that cartel members and perhaps even intelligence have congressional people paid off and in their pockets. And I don't say that happily, but they behave like people who have been bought off. Is there any evidence to that? Do you even discuss that in Border Invasion, or have you even talked about it within the Veterans for Trump group?
So on a personal note, I also went to the border to work on this type of film, and I actually went with Josh Barnett, who was running for Congress at the time. And I took another candidate here running for the 7th Congressional in South Carolina. We went to the border and we met up with a guy named Tim Foley. He's from the Netflix show Cartel Land. Mm-hmm. He took his pit bull and put a trailer up down there in the Badlands and hunts the cartel. And so we went down there and met with him. He said in me interviewing him that, look at how this border is open right here. Big, beautiful wall. And all of a sudden it stopped. Mandate on federal land. Mm-hmm. And I said, how is that okay? He goes, it's not. But do you really think they make $11 billion a year on the other side of that border and they're not funneling that to Congress? And I said, I can't say that. And he goes, nobody can because it's happening.
So it is happening. So our suspicions about what's going on there are unfortunately probably correct. We have a bought off Congress on this issue.
There's no, we don't have the we haven't caught him red handed, but the man that has spent his entire life, his elderly life, to hunt the cartel and try to stop these drugs and the human trafficking in the Badlands. He said straight up, and he talked, we caught two drug mules during this time with him, and he questions them about everything. And once they're caught, they say tell you everything. Just nobody's listening. Nobody, because they're not going to stop what they need.
If they wanted it
in the world.
Yeah. In other words, it is open because the politicians want it open, and the system around them that pays them want it open.
There's no other way to go around it.
Okay.
I was part of the best military in the world. I was a CB. We built things. Mm-hmm. I promise you. You give a battalion of CBs to build that wall, we'll have that thing done in a month.
Damn straight. I think that all we have to do, though, and take care of this, Chad, only half kidding, we'll just change the name of Mexico to Ukraine, and we'll have that sealed up by later tonight. We'll be really...
Or Dominican Republic, because Haiti, right now the DR is building one of the biggest walls known to keep the Haitians out after Barbecue Sandwich or whatever his name is took over.
Oh, yeah.
So it's proven walls work.
Mm-hmm.
That's why the feckless people in Congress right now are playing games, because it plays into their coffers like, I don't know, Act Blue.
Yeah. The documentary is Border Invasion, an American Crisis. Trailer's on YouTube. I'll post that certainly. And where can we find out more about Veterans for Trump, and how can you actually get a copy of this through Salem Now? What do you do? Tell us about it.
You can go to Salem Now and look up Border Invasion, an American Crisis. You can buy the movie itself, or you can get the membership.
Mm-hmm.
We also have the trailers and other ways to get it on veteransfortrump.us, veteransfortrump.us.
Okay.
And if you want to join one of the largest coalitions across the country, go to veteransfortrump.us and hit join. We're not going to send you WinRed. We're not going to ask you for a dollar. We're going to tell you where you need to be and where we can educate you and where Trump's going to be and keep you informed as to what's going on in our world right now.
Thank you. That you mentioned WinRed, right? Because that's just kind of like one of the biggest con jobs, the grift job out there in politics, isn't it? Because
it drives me crazy.
Yeah, the vast majority, when you get political mailings say, you know, go ahead and help this person, da 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 da, and you see it's WinRed. WinRed ends up getting most of the money instead of the candidate they're shilling for, right? Isn't that the story?
It is the story. And the thing is, when you call WinRed and say, can you please stop texting me? They say, oh, the candidates do it. It's the biggest shill out there. And if you want to, and this is important, this is where people need to start paying attention. If you want to get behind a candidate, give them your sweat equity and find out where you can donate to them specifically.
Exactly.
Don't go through these different groups. Give it to the candidate specifically so that you're actually every dollar is going to that candidate to help them win this seat.
And you have to ignore the siren song. You know, those, you'll be watching cable news some night, right? You're watching some show, and then all of a sudden, send a message to President Trump to seal the border here, and then call some 800 line. And, you know, it's going to some PAC or some WinRed type thing. And very little of the money ends up going to President Trump or whatever Senate candidate they're talking about. It really is a big grift and con job. We have to be very careful that and there's nothing wrong with donating to a candidate. But you want to donate directly when at all possible. Fair enough? And I'll give you the final word on that.
It is fair enough. And this is, again, where we're big at Veterans for Trump, is that we want to educate, activate, and motivate our people across this country to pay attention to their civics, to pay attention to their political lexicon. And as General Flynn, one of our founders, always says, is local action has national impact.
There
you go. Don't get involved now, people, you have nothing to bitch about.
Do you think that Flynn would find a home in a second administration, or is he too damaged, on the national stage?
I can speak specifically to that.
Okay.
There is no way in the world that if Donald Trump asked him to be a part of his cabinet in any way, shape, or form, that he would not take that job. He absolutely would. He's actually made the joke that he would like to start a new part of the cabinet on the Office of Accountability and be the head of that. Could you imagine General Flynn going around and holding our government officials accountable?
Yeah, well, I got to tell you, that whole, Michael, that General Flynn thing was just such a stinky takedown right from the beginning. Just a, ugh. That guy, that man's a pure patriot. That man is a pure patriot.
He is an absolute patriot, and his new film is coming out. Flynn is going to be dropping March 28th.
Oh.
He's having a tour across the country that we're going to help with also. And we're actually doing a space on Twitter tonight, which is going to be the first red carpet event for a movie premiere with the entire cast of Flynn on Twitter tonight on Shell Shock Pirate Radio. You can actually find out all about it on my Twitter at I'm Fired Up, the number 2. And you can follow me, and trust me, I'll be there. And it's going to be a great night. You can ask questions of General Flynn, his family, and Tracy Beans, Ivan Reichlin. They're all going to be there.
Very good. Chad Caton, National Director of Veterans for Trump. Good talk. I know we kind of went around all sorts of different subjects, including military readiness, but that's why I wanted to talk with a veteran about that. You be well. Take care. Thanks again.
Thank you, sir.
And once again, the documentary film produced by Salem Now. Just want to make sure you know about that. Border Invasion, an American Crisis. It's 657.